Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. Why don't you tell somebody that the true victory belongs to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I'm telling you, it's something about knowing the purpose of all of these things that we go through, all of these situations that we have to encounter. I say again, victory does belong to Jesus. We want to thank you for tuning in to another broadcast with Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters Intercessor, but I'm going to say we can't leave them out, but Kingdom Builders Development Institute. And here we are blessed, extremely blessed to be a blessing to all of our listeners, all of the lives that God and bring across our path. Amen. Well, I want to welcome you, and I want to ask you to get excited, because when the enemy tried to destroy your joy and take your strength away, that's when he can overcome you. So we overcome him by having the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. So I want to encourage you to laugh and to praise God in the midst of everything that you go through. Glory to God. Well, Father, we thank you for this time with you, Lord God. And Father, as we step out into the spiritual realm, God, we ask you to keep us covered with the blood of Jesus. God, as we teach your people who are called by your name, those, Lord God, that know that this is just a test, those that understand that we're going through the process of becoming what you called us to become. So, Father, we ask you to lead, guide, and direct us so that we may be exactly like you. It is your will, because we're your sons, God, in the name of Jesus. Spiritual sons, Lord God, and earthly, I'm an earthly daughter. But God, I ask you in Jesus' name to speak through me to heal your people. Spiritual awakening in the souls and in the hearts of your people who are called by your name. In the mighty, hallelujah, master's name of Jesus, I pray and I say yes and amen. Amen. Glory to his name. I want to serve notice on everyone on the line today. I just want to tell you that this is a test. Amen. Have you ever prepared yourself for a test? And it brings anxiety, it brings stress, it brings sleeplessness because you're preparing for this test. Amen. It's a test. It's only a test. And we know that it's a test. It's a procedure for maybe critical evaluation, determining your knowledge or your presence or your quality about a truth of something, how much you know about a situation. Or it could mean for determining your presence of mind, our quality, or for a better answer, what we are made of. Amen. And the truth of our words. Amen. I'm going to say that again. We're made of our quality, and for a better answer, so that we may understand that we are made of and sealed with the word of God. So now this is a test. He's a healer. He's a lawyer in the courtroom. Amen. He's a doctor in a sick room. You know, we say it all. What is a test? Let's say basic evaluation or a basic judgment of knowledge of one person or oneself and see how high you score. So God, do you believe that God will test us? How many believe that? You know, will God test us in many in different areas for a variety of reasons? Oh, yes. God will test us. God will test our faith through our families, through our jobs, through our closest friends, and every and each and carry with it requirements that we must meet to either to excel, hallelujah, or to fail. So if you're in a psychology class, you know you have to score a high enough score to go to psychology 110, 220, whichever one, wherever you are. You have to pass the test to excel. And if you fail the test, guess what's going to happen? You think your instructor or your professor going to pass you anyway? Well, they do say no child left behind or no adult left behind. But more than likely, to make sense of this test, you say, why did I have to go through that divorce? Why did my parents have to die? Why was I in this car accident? Why me, Lord? Does that make sense to you? Have you ever asked God why? Amen. See, that means that God will decide if we're ready to move to the next level. I want you to understand what I'm saying. This is just a test. So are we ready to move to the next level is determined how we handle each test, each situation. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. See, God will allow us to either hang ourselves or excel in his excellence or in his promotion, because literally promotion comes from the Lord. Amen. So to excel in him, the option sometimes is strictly ours. And the outcome is directly derived from our actions. Amen. You know, I remember one time I was sitting under one of my mentors, and he was operating totally in the flesh that particular day because he was upset at the parishioners. Amen. And I was all tapped in, and I heard the abuse, spiritual abuse, I heard it. And the Lord gave me a word to say to my mentor, my spiritual fathers. So I hear the Lord saying, do this and say this, and I'm thinking that it would be a dishonor. I was thinking, the old saying that the student is never greater than the teacher. But I hear the Lord and I know his voice. And it was a test for me. It was a test. So was I going to obey God, or was I going to sit there and be under the subjection of the spiritual authority that I had been placed up under? Or was I going to bring correction by the authorization of the Father, of the Holy Spirit? It was a test. So before we go any further, let's examine that we're in today. You know, I thank God that it took everything in me to do what God asked me to do. I struggled with it. I struggled with it. Even to the point when I went up to have the conversation, I was speechless. But God is faithful. And I made one step, but you know, if you make one step, he'll make two. So I made one step. I went and I approached my mentor, and when I got to him, it was so much reverence that I had for him, I didn't want to correct him. And so I was speechless. But the Lord revealed to him that he had given me a word for him. So instead of me saying what the Lord told me to say, I said something as though it was nothing to do with what the Lord told me to tell him. So I went on about my business, felt bad, asked the Lord to forgive me, went on home. That night, I got a call from my spiritual mentor. God is good, and we just lean and depend on him and take him for his word. He will never let us down because victory belongs to him, and we're vessels to be used by the Lord. So I got a call, and the call was in the nature of, is there something God told you to tell me? Well, you know, and I forgot to mention, when I was up there to speak with him, my back and everything went out. Was it anxiety? Was it fear? All of that. I was spiritually attacked. My body was attacked. So when he asked on the telephone, I already knew, now your back hurting and all this is going on, go ahead and release it. Now I'm just telling you my story. And I released it. And it was received. So it wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. It was received, and guess what happened immediately after? Immediately after that, I got a promotion. So every time you pass a test, look around for God to either promote you or delight in you, give you some desires you may have that you may not even know you have. But we have to pass the test. So, and let me make reference to another situation in the Bible. You know, the Bible talked about, remember the woman who was seeking healing from Jesus, the Canaanite woman? You know the story. First of all, she had no right, according to the Jewish custom, talking to Jesus. She had no right at all. Amen. Was it a test for her? She had no right, but she did it. Who knows? Did the Spirit of the Lord move upon her and have her by faith have a conversation with Jesus? You know the story in Matthew's. It's in Matthew's chapter 15. And I believe it's the latter part of Matthew's, Matthew's 21, started 21, and you can read on down to 28. But she was talking with Jesus, and she had no right based on the law. Amen? And what I'm saying is, based on the law, you don't correct an elder. That's a job for Jesus. Amen? But I heard the Lord say it, and I did it. But the Jewish customs was what? The woman that was seeking healing shouldn't have been talking to him. Or she shouldn't have even been seeking him for anything. But yet, I want you to see this, yet she showed her desire and her determination by addressing Jesus anyway. So who's to say? Was she led by the Spirit of the Lord? See, Jesus didn't have to resolve her issue, but Jesus had chosen to test her resolve and to test her character. Her actions and her sincerity were determined how Jesus reacted to her. And you know the story. I believe most of the listeners know the story. And Jesus heard her. And when she first addressed him, yet he chose not to answer. When she first addressed him, he didn't answer. But yet, and the disciples was there. And yet his disciples, which was his followers, they were there. And they petitioned Jesus to send her away. So sometimes we don't know the full scope of a situation. We don't know the full ramification of a situation. All we know is bits and pieces. God, tell us in parts. So the disciples thought they were doing good. And here this woman that had no authority, no rights in their eyes to approach the master. And not only did she approach him, she wasn't approaching him, giving him something. She was asking for something. Amen. So is it safe to say that she was a beggar? Just asking for healing. Amen. And then the worst part is when she approached him, he didn't react. He didn't respond. It was as though he was ignoring her. And I could imagine that's what made the disciples try to send her away. You know, they had decided that she was annoying Jesus, that she was in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing. So here goes your armor bearer saying, get back, Jack. No, here they go saying, you need to back off. You need to go away. So the disciples had just been tested. Maybe Jesus didn't answer. Maybe he was testing them. What were they being tested for? They were being tested for compassion. Did they pass the test? I would say absolutely not. I would say they failed. If you don't make the right decisions every time in life. See, this lesson is to show us that even the ones who walk with Jesus missed it sometimes. And Jesus answered her finally on the first approach. He didn't, but after that he did. And he answered her at this moment, at that very moment, and he answered her on purpose. So he purposely, he said, what did he say? He said, I'm not here for you. You're not a Jew. You're not Jewish. He said, I was sent for my people, and you're not one of them. Lord, have mercy. So I could imagine that made the disciples even more want to push this woman away. Because Jesus particularly was telling her that he wasn't even there for her. You're in the way. Get out the way. Okay, I just threw that in there. But nevertheless, he said, I was sent for my people, and you're not one of them. See, something strange happened. Then when the woman, she come in, and she was worshiping Jesus. And again, she didn't stop. Can you imagine being ignored the first time and the second time rejected? Okay, I hear your thoughts. But she didn't have those thoughts. Because guess what? She was determined. She was determined. So again, she said, and I can imagine she said in a loud voice, Lord, help me. I need you. And then Jesus answered her again. It's something. But this time, he's saying, it is not good to take the children's bread. What was he meaning? The bread of life, the word, and give it to the dogs. Was he calling her a dog? Ooh-wee. That's deep. See, I don't know how many of us would keep talking to a man, a person, a woman, a prophet, an apostle, a teacher, whatever they may be, after he or she just called you a dog. See, it would be hard enough for us to say things about a person like that. that's pushing and pressing away, and she's doing something that's not customary, and she's pressing toward the master. She's trying to get to your God, your Jesus. And then, like I said, first he ignored you, and then he doesn't want to be bothered with you. And then he called you a dog. Listen, that's a big pill to swallow. Sound like that was three things, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It was she was ignored. And then he told her she was bothering him. He didn't come for her. And the third thing is he made reference to her as a dog. Let's be honest. How many of us would pass that test? How many of us would continue to ask our mentor, our leader, our counselor, whoever it may be, one of our ministers, or anyone for that matter of fact, to pray for you after he or she specifically called us a dog? Is that a test? Now, remember, she had a purpose in mind. She wanted to be healed. Now, if her emotions had taken the front seat, then she may have not passed the test, because that was a test. That's a test. So this young lady, she was persistent. And even though she didn't realize that the prophet that she had heard about, that man of God, let's say that rabbi, that priest, that apostle, that reverend, thing that she needed. And that's all she could see. You got the goods. I need the goods. I'm going after them. So she was determined that he is her only connection to God. In other words, her last hope. Keep hope alive, right? Her one and only chance to be healed. And even in the scenario, the woman that came and brought her daughter to be healed, she did the same thing. And she didn't decide she can't get it, that she wasn't going to get the healing, because she knew she couldn't get it just anywhere. See, she had heard of a man who had asked and said, if you ask, it shall be given unto you. And she answered when Jesus made reference to the dogs eat the crumbs. She answered. She had an answer for him. You can call me those names. Just dish it out. I'll eat the crumbs that fall on the master's floor. Because I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm going to move at your command. I'll take what I can get. I'm going to pass this test. It's just a test. See, then Jesus, when she said that, can you imagine how Jesus felt? Because most of us, not any of us would be emotional. Okay, let me take that back. Some of us would be so offended, because sometimes we like to be offended because we have something to talk about. See, the Bible says offenses are going to come, but woe to them that bring it. And some of us like to be walking in offense. Amen. Some of us like to talk about what a person did to them. But this woman wasn't there. All she knew is she wanted to be healed. And she knew that the healing was in the Word of God. Because Jesus was a teacher. She made reference, I'll just eat what fall on the floor. It wasn't like it was tangible bread that you can just eat. It was the word. See, it's the word that heal you, you free. Yes. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I'm loving this. I'm loving this. See, Jesus want to teach us how to operate in faith, in love. So we have to take these tests. He was testing her perseverance. When she said, I'm going to eat the crumbs that fall on the floor because I'm not going nowhere. You remember the man of God, he was holding the angel until he blessed me. But what did Jesus say to her? What did he say to her when he saw her faith? He said, oh, woman, put your name right there. Great is thy faith. He said, be it unto thee, even as thou will. So Jesus tested the woman for her resolve. He knew her questions and her need before she brought it to him. He knew it was not the custom for the Gentiles to address him, but he wanted to see what she would do. So as I said to you earlier, when I was sitting there and one of my mentors was angry and operating and teaching and preaching out of the flesh, and he made these statements, he was like, all God wants from you is your tithes, because the people was angry at the time and they had stopped tithing. And he was like, look, forget the dumb stuff. All God want is your tithes. And I took that as though that was not the spirit of the Lord. But it was a test for me. So we go through these tests so that we may have a testimony. Amen. Because without a testimony, you'll be telling somebody else's story. But it's nothing like having your own. My mom always said, God bless the child that has his own. So she addressed him anyway. He tested her perseverance. And because when he proclaimed that he was not here for her, and she continued to talk. Can you imagine somebody say, okay, Teresa, I'm not here for you. I don't have time for you. I mean, you know, hey, it is what it is. Do you keep pushing and pressing? So the disciples was tested because they were to preach the gospel to everyone. And they were to operate in a spirit of love toward everyone. And Jesus had to teach them how to operate in love by testing them. He had to teach the woman how to operate in faith by testing her. Her faith proved greater than the disciples. See, God set tests for us and ahead of us to test our reaction. Oh, yes. Sometimes we were like, you know, that was the devil. Okay. Well, if God put you, because the woman approached him and she was a Samaritan, we would say, well, you know, that was the devil. It wasn't. It was God. God set a task for us so that we may pass the test. A task to pass the test. See, problems in a family, it's a test. See, God wants us to see how we will react. It's not that he needs to see. He wants us to see. He wants others to see how we are going to react, how much God is really in you. You know, we talk about it, but sometimes we're not being about it. So when we go through our tests, we really have to soldier up. And it may not be easy. And that's why I believe the Bible says, if you're not going to suffer with me, you can't reign with me. You know, some days I'd be like, Lord, please, lighten up. But I understand it's all about the kingdom. Everything that we go through, it's about the kingdom being developed in you. It's about the kingdom being developed in me. So when thou kingdom come, thou will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So do we recognize the enemy and react by praying and taking it to the Lord in prayer? Or do we recognize the enemy and just let the enemy be in the, into me? See, God tests us to see how planted we are. See, he has to, how should I say it? He already equipped us, and he can't unequip us. We have to use the equipment. So just say if you're being attacked, you're a soldier, you got your gun, you got all of your weaponry, and you just get attacked, and you don't use any of them. That was a test. Are you going to do what you were made to do? Ununified soldier, ununiformed soldier. Sometimes we can be divided within ourselves. Sometimes we can be, as I said, ununiformed. But we're in a battle. So we have to be equipped, unified within, and in our uniform, in our spiritual attire. See, our actions will determine our blessing and our tribulation. See, the test that God set before us and our actions as we go through will determine our walk with God. It's not to hurt you, to hinder you. It's to develop you. Our attitude in the test will determine our altitude. How we go through will determine where we are in God. So should I say enjoy the test? Because this too will pass? Because God said I will never leave you nor forsake you? Because God said I'm the Alpha and the Omega? I'm the beginning and the end? See, everything God does is a test, and we determine our fate, not anyone else can. Not anyone and not anything else. We determine our fate. See, we pray that when we feel like we prayed long enough and it seemed like God hasn't answered, we tend to try to compensate, and our flesh want to take over. So we try to figure out a way. But I stop by here to tell you that God sees and God hears all, and he knows every one of our situations. So before we do what we do, before we say what we say, before we act the way we act, and when the test come, he wait to see what we're going to do. You have a death in your family, or you lose your friends, or whatever the situation may be. God is patient, and he's perfect in his will, and he's not going to force us to do anything. Listen, Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to force his way up on us. He's not going to force his way in. He's waiting to see what we're going to do. God is not going to force us to stop and do as he wishes and do as he wants us to do. God will allow us to go through to ensure that we have learned our lesson. Let me talk about Peter. Peter stepped out on the water. And Jesus knew he could reach out and carry him. It wasn't no thing. Peter's test was much like ours to keep our eyes on Jesus. No matter what the situation looked like. And like many of us, took his eyes off of Jesus. And he looked at his circumstances. And that's when he began to sink. See, Jesus was sent that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But in order to receive this gift, we must first perfect the art of living in Christ. It's an art, and we have to perfect it. So you can't always talk foolishness, because by your words, you're going to live, and by our words, we're going to die. So what are you saying? What are you doing? See, we do this passing test and task that God set before us, but don't you remember? The steps of a righteous man, hallelujah, glory to God, isn't that healing for you, are ordered by the Lord. Nothing comes by surprise to God. So it means everything is already taken care of for us. This too shall pass. The only chance for us to lose this walk and not be victorious and lose our salvation is to fail the test. And the marker is set for us. Amen. When we quit, we lose. See, let's look at your life. Let's look at my life. And I know myself, I failed many of tests. But I didn't quit. Look at others' life. You got some people that when they fail, they make all kinds of excuses, never, ever accountable. Let me show you something. Every test we pass, I've learned that all it does is bring us closer to God. So now we say, how's that? The test of our faith. It will bring us closer to trusting in God. And each time we overcome by faith, our faith is increased. And then what? The test of worship. It'll bring us closer to God and carry with it anointing every time. And every time we come into God's presence with worship, we grow closer. We go stronger in him. And then the test of adversity. It strengthens our testimony, and it gives us fortitude. So the more he takes us through the test, the stronger we become in God. The test of being humble or humility or humbleness to remain as a servant of God, and that we're called to serve the people. Not to be served. See, stay humble. See, this test, it keeps us from exalting ourselves and teach us that we are conduits that God uses. And I know I am. You know, I'm in the house. I'm going to make your plate. I'm going to serve you because that's what I do. The test of praise in remembrance that everything we do, God gets the glory. And this will gain us favor with God. It's a test. So problems in our life, problems in our families, problems on our job, I want you to remember, everything that you go through, say to yourself, it's only a test. Problems in your marriage. Don't you remember? It's only a test. Problem with your children. Remember, it's only a test. Problems with your ministry. Remember, it's only a test. Friends talking about you. Remember, it's only a test. In-laws hating. Remember, it's only a test. Everything seems to be going wrong. Remember, it's only a test. It's only a test. And every test that we take, it teaches us in a different way, and it teaches us a different lesson. And I came by my friend today to tell you that for every test you take, Jesus is the answer. You got a problem, he got the answer. Got a problem on your job? Jesus is the answer. You got a problem at home? Jesus is the answer. You got a problem with your kids? Jesus is the answer. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So just remember that the Bible is your basic instruction before leaving earth. It's your study guide. Study the word. Set yourself apart, and you can pass the test. You can make your grades. See, Jesus set the test of life, and he beat it, and it came to show and illustrate that it is possible to make it through. And if we follow him and wait for the answer, we can pass any test. Think about it. Ananias lied and lied to God and fell dead. It was a test. His wife died to God. His wife lied to God and she fell dead. And I can go on and on. Simon and Andrew and John and James, they tested Jesus. And Jesus tells them to cast their nets. After they had been fishing, remember they was fishing all night and caught nothing, was non-productive. See, the Bible says that our days are numbered. We have to devour the prey. But in the same time, we have to pass the test. So the Bible says they caught a great multitude of fish when they listened to Jesus. So I'm reminded of the woman with the issue of blood. She suffered for 12 years. She suffered with no hope. But when she heard her chance was close, and she answered, and how did she answer her problem? Is when she gasped out and she reached out and she ran out. And I could imagine she was saying, Jehovah Jireh, because she knew that he was her provider. Jehovah Nisi. She knew he was her protection. Jehovah Raha, her shepherd. Rapha, her healer. She knew. Jehovah Salam, she needed that peace. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is with us. And this is one of my favorites. Jehovah Tiskanu, the Lord my righteousness. I will forgive her. He forgive us. We don't want to wait in traffic. We don't want to wait in line. We don't want to wait on hold. We don't want to wait for the water to boil. We take it and put it in the microwave. We don't want to wait in the doctor's office. We don't want to, we don't like waiting too long for our food, even in the restaurant. We don't like waiting for that ride to pick us up. We don't even like waiting in the gas station. Look, Abraham was just like us. Run with me to Genesis, and I'm going to let you go. See, I'm in a hurry, too. Genesis 17, I'm talking about Abraham and Sarah. They took it upon themselves to fulfill God's promise. Sarah gave Abraham Hagar, her maid servant, and she thought that this was the thing to do. And what happened? And through her leaning to her own understanding, Ishmael, her firstborn son, was born. Ishmael is the result of not trusting that God will fulfill our promises. So we have Ishmaels in our life. We're still dealing with these Ishmaels because we will not wait. We have Ishmaels in our lives that cause us frustration because of our hurriedness. You know, we have Ishmael in our life because, and it caused a whole lot of stress because we don't want to wait on God. We have Ishmaels in our life that cause us restless and sleepless nights because we took matters into our own hands instead of waiting on God. Ananias, the Lord, he is my great God. See, he's everything that we need. El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. Everything that we need. So I want to encourage you today. Spend some quiet time with him. Get the heart of God. Pass the test. Everything going to be all right. It's going to work out. Just breathe and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen, amen. I want you to know that victory in Jesus is ours. God has no intentions of allowing you to lose the battle of life. The victory is something that God gives us, and we don't have to earn it. No, like salvation, victory is free. It's a free gift, like the gift of God's grace. We already won. Just follow the map. Say, hey, Jesus. Like you say, hey, Google. Just say, hey, Jesus. He's going to work it if you let him. Glory to God. I want you to know that I definitely have fed my spirit today. And I thank God for his leading, for his direction, because we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Keep passing those tests as you become greater and stronger and bigger in the things of the kingdom. Because one day, people of God, he's going to call our names and we'll be able to answer. Amen. Don't we want to answer? Don't we want to hear him call our name and we can answer? Yes, Lord, you finished your course. You fought a good fight. You passed your test. And he got laid up for you a crown of righteousness. I tell you now, sow into where you're going. Go to www.giveify.com and sow into the ministry. Don't do it for us. Do it out of obedience to Christ. Amen, where we are building up soldiers, licensing and ordaining men and women of the gospel so that they can be tried by the Father and pass the test. Amen. I say God bless everyone. Thank you once again for being faithful to what God called you to do. Connect yourself with people that celebrate you. Pull away from people that just tolerate you. Because you need a spiritual coach to tell you, yes, you can. You can do it. Amen. I say God bless everyone. We love you from Elder and myself and Kingdom Builders Development Institute family. We're praying for you every single day that you become what God called you to become. God bless everyone. And just remember, if you stay on the wall, Satan's kingdom will be torn down. Bless you, and we love you. Have a blessed rest of your evening. Amen, amen.
Satan, we're going to tear your kingdom down. Oh, Lord.
Satan! We're gonna tear your kingdom down.
The mothers are gonna pray your kingdom down. Any mothers out there praying? I heard the mothers.
Mothers, we're gonna pray your kingdom down.
Yeah, you've been
building your kingdom
all over. I heard the preachers are gonna preach your kingdom down. Oh Lord, the preachers
are gonna preach your kingdom down.
Yeah, yeah, you've been
building your kingdom.
Oh, your kingdom down. This is your last one, Satan.
Satan, we're gonna tear your kingdom down.
Yeah, yeah, you've been
building your kingdom
all over.
All over this land.
That's all right.
Satan.